I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we deal with the theme of the morning, something to be thankful for. Something to be thankful for. Most of you know that Blair Wilson was married yesterday, and a very wonderful ceremony and reception on the behalf of Blair and Jessica. But I was speaking with Blair's father some time ago, and he was sharing with me, when does life begin? And he said, life begins not at birth, but when your children get old enough to get married and leave home. And so I suppose that there is a sense of celebration this morning at Fire Truck Tuck, where Mr. and Mrs. Wilson reside. If we think in terms of Thanksgiving, we can think of a lot of ways and reasons to give thanks. We can think of things that we have experienced and things that others have experienced in which we have participated with them and the privilege of doing so, as we did yesterday at the wedding. Very wonderful reception for the couple, as was said. But St. Paul wants us to understand that thanksgiving has to do with thanks living. It is not sufficient for us at a certain time of the year to come together to deal with this period of time. Oh, it's the 10th of October. It's time to give thanks. What he's saying as we look in the whole text is that thanks is really the result of something extraordinary. You give thanks because there is an assumption that someone has done something for which you want to express a sense of gratitude. Thanks is presupposing a giver. And if we understand this giver, you remember reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, St. Paul said when he came to Troas, he was downcast because Titus was not there. Then he said, but thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph. Titus was not there, but God was there. And for that reason, he was able to switch from a sense of despondency to one of delight in the sense that the presence of God was there. And this morning, for the next few moments, this is what we want to look at. What is thanksgiving all about? When does thanksgiving really begin? I want you to follow in your Bibles as I read these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, may I just extend that to sisters as well. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor or your toil is not in vain in the Lord. A few weeks ago, at 3:53 in the afternoon, many of you will remember what that conjures up in your minds. Because at 3:53, what happened in Toronto? Earthquake. Different things happened to different people, wondering what was happening. I remember the doors in our home shaking. And I wondered what was happening until I turned the radio on and realized that an earthquake was taking place. But several years ago, an earthquake took place in a little village in Europe. It was not an earthquake like we had, 5.2 on the Richter scale. It was a devastating experience. And what happened at that time? People became extremely alarmed because of what was happening. In the midst of those people who were panicking because of the earthquake was a gentle, white-haired old lady sitting as calm and cool and collective as one could ever think about. People were astonished at her composure and approached her and said to her, how come you are not alarmed at the earthquake. And she raised her shoulders and she looked into the faces of those who were asking the question and said, "Alarmed? I am thankful I have a God big enough to shake the world whenever he wants to." An earthquake that causes an alarm, but a God that gives composure in the face of the earthquake. St. Paul was talking about an earthquake of a different kind. And as he comes to verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15, he bursts out with a sense of exuberant joy, with a sense of thanksgiving and gratitude. But thanks be unto God. You look at the word and you will see he says, but thanks. But is a contrasting conjunction. It is saying, in the light of this, however this. And many of you have come into this place this morning with earthquakes in your lives. Earthquakes of one kind or another. Death. Defeat. Disappointments. Many of you have come with a sense of distress. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a God big enough to shake your earthquake? To bring you to the place where you can use this contrast, but thanks be unto God. I had two weddings yesterday, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and I don't usually do that. But the circumstances were such that I had to. So I stayed at one as long as I could until I had to move to the other. And I was thankful for the 407. I waited until the last minute, and then I dashed where I was to the 407. I got in the 407. I'm driving 100 plus 0 kilometers. And I'm driving, and I'm supposed to turn off at Islington and 407. Guess what? There are no exits. I found myself all the way to highway number 27. But I'm not stupid. I gave myself enough time to get lost. And I got to where I wanted to go on time. You know, that's a homey little story. But friends, isn't that like life? We have plans. We have things arranged. And all of a sudden, something intercepts that, something you did not plan on taking place when you planned something else. Do you have a God who is big enough to shake your earthquakes? This is what Paul wants us to see, that we have something to be thankful for. Listen to what the psalmist says. God is a very present help in trouble. Is. If you're marking your Bibles this morning, underline that verb, is. Because no matter what the earthquake is, he is present. Let's look into the text for a few moments. Something to be thankful for. What are we to be thankful for? We are to be thankful for God's presence with us. God's presence with us. The presence of God, my friends, produces a few things in our being. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying there are people who are saying that God is dead, that Jesus is still in the tomb, that we have no hope beyond this life. People are saying we should do something else, but he says, no, Christ is risen, and thanks be to God, because if there was no God, if there were no God, Jesus Christ would not be raised from the dead. And he's relating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will see in a moment, to everything else in life. So he begins with what I call this emotion. Because you see, the word thanks is an emotive word. It is a word which is a feeling word. He's saying, I feel a sense of gratitude. I really feel it down inside. I have a reason to be thankful. And the reason I am thankful is because God is there. He is there. Sometimes I have to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. But God is there. You see, what he's saying thanks about is that There is someone who has been working in the midst of everything else that I've been experiencing so that I know that I can relate my sense of gratitude not to the wind. I can relate my sense of gratitude not to someone out there. Last Sunday night, I was at Parkview Village where I was asked to lead the people in a communion service. And as we were getting ready to go in, as we drove up, we saw the ambulance at the entrance of Parkview Village, and we wondered, oh my, I wonder what is happening here. And Christopher and Lois walked inside, and I went and parked the car. And as I came back, I saw a lady stretched out on the floor. And Christopher came and he said, I don't know, Daddy, but I think her name is Irma. And I thought, not Irma Keeler. So I started to get really, really worried. But it wasn't Irma. Irma is still here, by the way. The last thing she said before, on the ground there, stretched out, the people giving her, the ambulance people giving her what she needed, whatever it was. And the last thing she was heard to say, I just want to go home to my Lord. I just want to go home to my Lord. Thanks be unto God. When the earthquake of death faces me, God is present. And so he has been with you, dear friends. He has been with Lloyd Weidman as his brother fell dead. He's been with Tess's mother as she died. He's been with you in the darkness of the hour in which you found yourself this past week. God is a very present help in trouble. But thanks be unto God. There's a feeling of emotion because I'm so grateful that God is there. That God is there. That's why I'm thankful. Because I'm not alone. I'm not an orphan. I have someone far bigger than anything. He is the author of my tranquility. He is the one who gives me a promise when I cannot sleep. He is the one whose presence I need more than any other when I'm stretched out and I have nothing that I can hold on to. I was at the hospital with Don Radcliffe a few days ago. A few weeks ago, I should say. Not a few days. I was there a few days ago as well, but I was at the hospital a few weeks ago. He had not talked to anybody at all. As they took him to the hospital, he had been in this kind of a coma for a while. And so I went to him and I held his hand and I said, Don, this is Winston. And Don, I know the only thing that matters to you is the Word of God. And he opened his eyes. Oh, Winston. He hadn't talked to anybody else. Oh, Winston, he said. I said, okay, I want to read the scriptures for you, Don. And I read the scriptures. And in his characteristic way, he said, oh my, oh my. And he sank back and he had never spoken to anyone since. Thanks be unto God. The promises of God sustained him from then to this morning. And now he is in the presence of the one he loved and served. Thanks be unto God. The emotions, the feelings of gratitude. Oh, dear friends, do you feel it this morning? I took my little boy down to Lois and I did. I took him down to where we used to live when we first moved to Toronto. We lived in the basement of a Jewish home on 34 Diana Drive in Downsview. And I said, God has brought mom and dad from a basement apartment to where they are now. And I use the words of my mother as she loves to say, God is so good. The presence of God. Oh, friends, do you know it this morning? The sense of gratitude. But let's look quickly at the evidence. What is the evidence for the presence of God? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. That word victory is a word you see every day if you're rich. Well, if you don't rich, you're not rich, you see it as well. You walk in some of the shoe stores and you see Nike. That's the Greek word for this word victory. It means to overcome. And Paul is saying, thanks be unto God who causes us to overcome. Paul is talking about three things, my friends, in 1 Corinthians 15. Three things, briefly. O death, where is your sting? O death, O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory over death. Death comes in three stages. There's physical death. That happens to everybody. Physical death. There is spiritual death. Spiritual death is a condition without Jesus Christ. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, whoever lives in pleasure is dead while they live. It is to be without a communion, a fellowship with God. God gives us victory over physical death. Not that we won't die, but when it comes, we can face it. Spiritual death was taken care of at Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sins so that I might become alive to God. That's spiritual death. I become spiritually alive when I receive Christ as Savior. But my friends, the last is the worst of all. Eternal death. Eternal death is a condition by which a person who rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ lives forever in eternity without God, without hope, just the consciousness that they are without any sense at all of relationship with others. Literally, my friends, the Bible calls it hell. That's what the Bible calls it. And Paul says, thanks be to God, for he gives victory over the fear of death. Thanks be unto God, he gives victory over the fear of guilt. Thanks be unto God, because he gives victory over the future. The future. Paul says, if it's in this life only we have hope, we are to be pitied. This morning I turned the television on to look at some of the new programs that are on from Channel 9, which is a new Christian station here in Toronto. And as I turned it on, I was met with this. How to take care of the millennium bug. Here is what will happen in the year 2000. The first one I didn't have to worry about. Your bank account will be inaccessible. So that's all right. Can't do much with 10 bucks, you know. Energy will be far less than it is now. All the stuff you put in your computer, those of you computer bugs, could be gone. I'm telling you this because, my friends, you know what I was saying? Look to the future and you get discouraged. Look to the future and you lose hope. Look around us politically, in Washington, in Ottawa. Look around us morally. And everything we look at today brings nothing but discouragement to us. Paul says, thanks be to God who gives us victory over the future. I can look to the future because I have hope beyond time. If I only have hope because Christ died, I am to be pitied. But I have hope because Christ is risen, and thanks be unto God for that. My friends, in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can face life. You will see what he will say in a minute. Listen to what he says very, very, very quickly. What does it mean? What does it mean to be grateful to God? It means that he has done something in time which will stand the test of time, which will buffet our trials, which will confront death, which will look at defeat with a sense of hope, which will look to the future with a sense of expectation. We can live. As God's people, we can live with a grateful spirit in spite of circumstances and environment in which we find ourselves. That's something to be thankful for. Let me quickly look at what this means as far as God's potential in us. Look at verse 58. Therefore, someone said, one of my teachers, well, I've heard this from several of my teachers, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, ask what it is there for. Because it is saying something has gone on before upon which what I'm going to say stands. And if you understand what has gone on before, I'm going to tell you, you can stand as a result of it. So Paul says, therefore, as a result of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead and is alive today, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God's potential in us, my friends, is number one, stability in service. Stability in service. You know what this means? It means, my friends, that our faith is not threatened by the clouds on the horizon. I'll never forget this. Several years ago, I was reading Youth for Christ magazine. Very interesting little piece. And a couple of kids wanted to play a football game. You know what it is? I'm not a great football fan, so I've got to search for it. But this is what the little story was. These kids wanted to play touch football. That's the word I was looking for. And they asked a gentleman who was walking by if he could be the referee. And he said yes. So the kids got together in a huddle and they were planning their strategy for the play. And there's a little caption under the gentleman who was asked to be the referee. I just know they're talking about me. My friends, sometimes that's how we see life. Little things can cause us to lose our perspective, to lose our trust in God. We can trust God when everything is going well, but are we stable when things aren't going well? Is our faith still strong when we have no answer for the things we face? You see, he's talking now about service. Abound in the work of the Lord with stability because Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. Stability. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 119, verse 167. And I have to practice this every day in my life. Great peace have they who love the Lord, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Nothing. Great peace have they who love the Lord. Love the Lord's law, his promises. And nothing shall cause them to stumble. But there's something else. Be steadfast, immovable. If steadfastness has to do with faithfulness to our faith in the service of the Lord, to be immovable has to be with staying in the service of the Lord. One is where we lose the sense of our trust. The other is where we give up our task. Stay. Stay. It means, my friends, to keep on faithful to the Lord in what he has called us to do in spite of the rising tides. It means to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because you are not alone when you face the darkness of life. Not only do we have this stability in service, but we have also sufficiency for service. Sufficiency for service. Look at what he says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding is the word that I want to focus on just a moment, because it means to have an abundant and enough. Enough of what? My friends, in the work of the Lord, we need patience. Do we have enough patience in the work of the Lord to keep on keeping on when things don't go our way? I don't mean that selfishly. It means endurance. Do we have enough endurance to bear under when the burdens come on us? It means self-control. Do we have enough self-control so that we are able to be faithful to God and to others in spite of what's happening? Always abounding. I have enough of whatever it takes to keep faithful to God. That's what the word abound means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul asked the question, who is sufficient for these things?
Several years ago, I came in contact with someone whom I consider to be a friend of mine by association as well as by some contact, a fellow by the name of Gary Inrig. And I spoke with Gary not too long ago, in fact. And in speaking to us as ministers several years ago in Winnipeg, Gary said this, "Gentlemen, if you are going to be a successful pastor, and he's one, you have got to have the heart of a dove and the skin of a rhinoceros." Well, I don't know how true that is, but this much I know, friends, that there is an abounding sufficiency of whatever attribute is needed. Love, forgiveness, faithfulness, patience, hope, that we may abound in the work of the Lord. That I do not become discouraged when the work becomes so heavily burdened to me as a Sunday school teacher, as an elder, whatever it might be. I have my sufficiency for my task from God. I can keep on keeping on because God provides what I need. My sufficiency is from God. There's satisfaction in service. Satisfaction. "For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain," the word vain means to be empty, to be meaningless. "What I am doing is not some empty work that has no meaning. The work of the Lord provides for me the means by which I am able to do something meaningful and worthwhile and lasting in life. The work of the Lord is not something I do that is in vain. And sometimes that work will call me to a sacrifice that I must make. Because it is not in vain, I am willing to make that sacrifice." Whatever that might be that God calls me to do. Hudson Taylor knew that. Hudson Taylor, a great man of God of another age, but his work still follows him, his wife Maria tells a story where Hudson Taylor was severely brutalized by others. And his wife wrote a letter to those who brutalized Hudson Taylor. And she said this, "The man of whom you have spoken is known intimately to me. I have seen him. I have heard him. I have observed him under all circumstances. And there is one thing I can say about him. He does his work as unto God, and because he does it so, God provides for him." What does God provide? Anything he wants. I suppose after reading that, I discovered perhaps that's where Hudson Taylor got the phrase, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." What is needed this morning, my friends, for your earthquake? Do you have a God who is big enough to shake your earthquakes so that you can be serene in the midst of it? That's something to be thankful for. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Oh God, we read again and again and again in the Psalms, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercies endure forever." As we go through life and we are sometimes battered by things, thanks be unto God who gives the victory. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. We have a God who is there. And may everyone with a burdened heart this morning know that presence that will make all the difference, so that they will leave this place with a grateful heart because God would have given the victory. In Christ's name.